times of military conflict, they can both magnify and distort the human relationships that take place during that conflict. Just have a think about that and what it means for our history, because a new exhibition at the Victorian Shrine of Remembrance is an unblinking look at all the forms those relationships can take. It's called Lust, Love and Loss. It officially opens today, and with me is the exhibition curator, Neil Sharkey. Hello, Neil.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
Not too bad, mate. And look, thanks for coming on, because I was thinking about this. It's not often, I would imagine, that military exhibitions have highlighted the warts and all of relationships under duress.
Oh, well, no, probably not very often. Certainly here at the Shrine, a number of our permanent exhibits do sort of touch on the subject as people move around our permanent exhibits, but this is, for us anyway, this is the first time that we've had a really concerted effort to dive, deep dive down on the subject, and look at it from, look at those issues from, you know, a number of different angles and some of the nuances involved.
Yeah, indeed. So let me just read out the 11 themes that are displayed within the exhibition. I just want to give people a sense of what topics you've sort of sectioned out, because I think each one of them inspires a whole range of thinking. First one is body beautiful, then it goes to strange places, uncertain times, separation, wartime morality, recreation, sexual identity, new beginnings, love's lost, trauma, abuse, and weaponizing sex. And you could spend hours on each of those discussions there, Neil. But when it comes to, I guess, some of the underlying messages of this, I was thinking about that old saying, eat, drink and be merry because tomorrow we may die. And that kind of sense of finality and mortality must change the way we behave when it comes to sexuality, identity and relationships in times of conflict.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One of the... Yeah, I mean, the exhibition features paintings by a number of great Australian artists like George Benson and Clifton Pugh, Wendy Sharp. And on that particular topic that you're talking about there of, I guess that would fall into the wartime morality kind of character of eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow may never come.
And recreation as well, I imagine.
Yeah, recreation. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, Sidney Nolan certainly, there's a very sort of, there's a portrait of a couple embracing there with the kind of dark, you know, undertones that often mark out his work. And, Albert Tucker, of course, explored probably nobody did it better exploring those topics of wartime morality and, the very famous scenes of drunken, soldiers and, Australian and US soldiers cavorting with, women in the streets. And, they often give a very bleak view of, those uncertain times. But, there's also a lot of other, more celebratory, I guess. There's an upside to that kind of, thinking too. It's quite freeing, and a lot of Australian women, we've got a beautiful a painting of by Sidney Simon, an American artist, called Soldier and a Woman. It just shows, that it's this burgeoning relationship between an American GI and an Australian woman, and they're obviously enjoying the moment, and that's opening a whole new horizon for them, because in normal peacetime, an American guy from the Midwest and an Australian girl from Melbourne, never would have met. But and then it also has, another element of that story is there's an Australian MP looking on, suspiciously at the two of them. So, there's all this great nuanced complexity to a lot of these wonderful paintings that we have on loan from the Australian War Memorial. There's 10 works there that that really flesh out these themes that that you rattled off before. And it's a tremendous pleasure to be able to host those, as well as a number of other objects on display from our own collection and from ordinary Victorians who have shared their own stories or those of their forebears and family.
Well, on that very point, let's welcome in our second guest on this, because one of the stories of enduring love that began during Australia's World War II commitment has been contributed to this exhibition by my next guest, Tani James. Tani just happens to be an executive producer with ABC Television. And Tani, great to have you on Life Matters. Hello.
Lovely to talk to you, Michael.
Tani, you're going to tell us the story of your parents, Bob and Merle. And if we may, can we talk about your late mother first? Because I know she only died about 18 months ago. And after that, you discovered a treasure trove of correspondence to and from your mother.
Exactly. Yes, Mum kept everything. And we found boxes and boxes and boxes of letters, many, many from the 1930s and 40s, and a lot of them very gentle, gorgeous, passionate love letters from a number of people. And they were so touching and so lovely. And one particular little bundle was tied up with a ribbon and a list of men's names from whom the letters had come. And I found a little note penned on the outside of it, which was just held together by a little rusty pin and a bit of ribbon. And on the outside it had a list of names saying Teddy, Pat, Roscoe, Jono, these men's names. And then later on the piece of paper was a note that said, Pat, wounded over New Guinea, Cav, Pathfinder Force, Bob Bennett, died Rabaul, Dougie, lost at sea, Johnny, missing, believed killed over the Middle East. So,
and Tani, what was the connection between your mother and these men?
Well, a lot of them were just friends, but in her latter years, where the 1940s and 30s were far more present in her memory than everyday things, she would tell me very openly stories, and I discovered that she'd been engaged to five of these men at the same time. And although I laughed a lot, she told me it wasn't that unusual, and that the reason was that the women didn't want their men going away to war with nothing to look forward to and nothing to anticipate. And as was the case, a lot of them didn't come back.
So in Merle's eyes, your mother's eyes, she was almost providing a kind of emotional public service to these people who were serving in regions and realms of conflict overseas, not knowing what would happen next.
Absolutely. She was giving them hope and connection and love and anticipation and all those connections that take you through an incredibly tough time. So, yes, she did offer out her hand to support these men who were not knowing what would happen or if they'd come back. And, you know, one I know, a lovely man called Peter Kavner, he was part of the Pathfinder Force and he was engaged to Mum, but he was told by his superior officers that he had to write the Dear John letter because the attrition rate for those pilots was so high that they didn't really think he would come back. So he was instructed to write the letter saying, hold no promises, you know, don't anticipate, everything's off between us.
And Tani, tell us then how it was that while this was happening in your mother's mind and also in correspondence with these men, that she met and eventually married your father, Bob.
Well, it was a love story, a real love story. They met at the Melbourne Town Hall at a dance, and apparently Dad wanted to take her home that first night and she refused because she had very good manners. She said no, she'd come with someone else. But she did slip him her phone number, so there was an instant attraction. And Dad and Mum were part of the same friendship group for a long time. They played tennis, they had groups, they went to the beach, all that sort of thing. But when Dad went to the war, he was in North Africa for 4 years and in Tobruk, and then came back and very quickly was sent off to New Guinea. And it was when he was in New Guinea that he decided that he wanted to marry Mum. So the story goes that he walked all night through knee-deep mud carrying two eggs in his hat in an effort to get to the RAAF signal station, which was somewhere in the jungle out of New Guinea, and he found it, and he climbed up the tower and he tried to bribe the signals officer with two eggs to send a message to Frognal, where Mum was a signals operator working in Melbourne at RAAF headquarters. And the guy apparently was pretty reticent to do so, but the eggs might have swayed his opinion. And he did send a message through to Frognal, and Dad sat in the rain and in the mud waiting for this to come back. And it was just a three-word message for Downey, Mrs. Merle's maiden name. And the question was yes or no. And a three-word message came back: not on duty. And so apparently he sat under the tower for the rest of the night waiting for the shift change to come on, and he sent the message again. And he got back a one-word message from signal operator Downey, which just said, "Wait."
Your mother is a terror. I just love this about your mum. But eventually, Bob, your father comes back to Australia. And is in a march, and I don't think it was a victory march, it was too early, but a march down, you know, to show force and, you know, a sense of morale down the street in Melbourne.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. When they came back, his unit, because it had been so badly decimated, was incorporated into what was known as the Glorious 9th Division. And they marched down St Kilda Road on their return to Melbourne, which had been a very unaccompanied and risky and arduous journey back to Australia. So there was great celebration that they'd actually made it and hadn't been bombed with an unaccompanied ship on the way back. So they were all lined up and in ranks and marching down the street, and Mum saw Dad in the ranks, and she ran the entire length of St Kilda Road along beside him. And when they broke ranks finally, they agreed to meet at St Kilda Station later. And Mum says that she was waiting outside the gates, and he came off the train and through the crowd and saw her and reached over the barricade and makes me cry, took her hand to guide her towards the gate, and she saw this gold signet ring on his finger, and she said that was the moment that she knew, and she knew that this would be the man she married, and she did.
And Tani, how long were Bob and Merle together?
They were together all their life. I can't remember. I think it's 57, 60-something years. They were together for a very long time.
That's amazing.
Yes. And Dad died 20 years before her. Mum died when she was 98. She was still teaching dancing at 96. And unfortunately, dementia really took its toll on the last years of her life. But the one question she kept asking was, "Where's Daddy?"
Tani, thank you so much for coming on and telling us that story. Clearly such an intense and emotional scenario to recount only 18 months after the loss of your mum. And thank you so much indeed for coming on. It's been great.
It's a pleasure. They were very, very well loved.
Tani James, whose story about Bob and Merle, and in fact their own story, has contributed to this exhibition called Lust, Love and Loss. Neil Sharkey, just before we say goodbye, what is extraordinary about that story? I mean, there's so many things that are extraordinary about that, but these are two people who stayed together when so many people after wartime conflict did end up divorcing or separating because of the experience of that time.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, even just thinking about the stack of letters that we have on display from all of those young men that Merle knew during the war, I mean, Tani and I were talking about it. It's like that stack of letters is a choose-your-own-adventure, isn't it? It's like
Yes. Every
one of those, any one of those young men, she could have just as easily pursued a relationship with one of those as Bob. You know, Bob might have been the guy that didn't come back.
Yeah.
You know, just the whole course of Merle's life would have changed, and Tani wouldn't be with us now. I mean, just imagine.
So, yes, and this is the importance of these exhibitions, is to remind us about, I guess, the ephemeral nature of our lives, particularly under conflict, and what influence that has on our behaviour in relationships. And if you've just joined us, I just want to say thank you to Neil, Exhibitions Curator at the Victorian Shrine of Remembrance, Neil Sharkey. And the exhibition itself is called Lust, Love and Loss. It officially opens today. I've got a link up on the Life Matters website so you can have a bit of a look at the details around that. And, yeah, great to hear those stories from both Tani and Neil.